Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome back to More Than That. This week we had Larry Stout, who was giving the word as Raphael was in Denver, correct?
Denver.
Mm-hmm. His passage was Philippians 3:12 through 4:1. So Larry, if you had 10 extra minutes to introduce something new, expand on something, what would it have been?
Well, the emphasis of those 10 verses that I had was Paul elaborating on really what it meant to be a citizen of heaven, and that was the main intent. And I summed it up kind of by just saying, don't look back at the past, but live in the now with an eye towards heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the overall past, present, future. But then in the middle of all of that, Paul throws in this rather bit of sour milk, I guess, I don't even want to call it, but these four fallacies of those who claim to be leaders. How exactly does he say it? For I've told you often, now say this is verse 18 of Philippians 3. For I've told you often now and say again with tears how that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And then he gives examples, mm-hmm. four examples of that, and then basically lets it go. And he says, our citizenship is heaven. So, okay, I've warned you about them. And I was trying to think, okay, so he's telling us the wrong thing. Well, so what should be the person that we follow? What would be a representative of a good pastor, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
These are people we avoid, but what's the best example? And I went, and as I was thinking about this, I came up with a wonderful illustration, but I couldn't use it because it was too long. And that's why I thought, you know, I'm so thankful that we have this More Than That, because this will be perfect for More Than That. And it goes to Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay.
This John Bunyan's very classic book that has been around for hundreds of years, and supposedly Spurgeon read it 100 times. he claims to, anyway.
For every year that it was out, he read it.
he was really into it. But it is a book that I read at least once every other year. And I finally, after 49 years of marriage, I'm getting my wife to read it. So we are reading it together.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, surprisingly, I'm finding things that I didn't see,
mm-hmm.
Because I have to explain it to her. And I never realized I've been skipping over stuff. And one of the things that hit me was the interpreter's house. Now, if you're not familiar with mm-hmm. the story.
Which I have not read it.
Okay, so. Very, very quickly then. What we happen is there's this guy who's living in a city of destruction. He's read a book, and he realizes that he's in trouble. He's going to be he's going to die, and so this he decides he gets told by this man to that there's hope, and so it was evangelist that pointed him to this. A small gate that this man whose name is Christian very mm-hmm. early on, which is kind of surprising, mm-hmm. which I think has to do with, you know, kind of the elect.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he has this weight on his back that's symbolizing of sin. And it's very interesting how Bunyan describes salvation, because it's he has to really go through some pretty stiff humps and runs into people, and it's always mm-hmm. so funny. He runs into obstinate and pliable and Mr. Worldly Wise. You know, it's not It's not subtle in who these people are. And he gets shot at an arrow from Beelzebub's castle, and eventually gets to the through this gate, which is a symbol of now really being a believer and recognizing it. But he still has a burden on his back. He hasn't yet got to the cross, which is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But Bunyan gives him this, where this man called the interpreter, which is actually the Holy Spirit, symbol of the Holy Spirit, he's going to prepare him for what he's about to encounter in mm-hmm. this journey to get to the celestial city. And there's going to be an interpreter's house, 7 different stations, rooms, whatever. And they all symbolize something. You know, the one that probably gets quoted the most was this fire that a guy is trying to put out, and they don't realize that there's being oil put on it behind the fire, you know, it's keeping it going. It's Satan thinks he's winning, but he isn't. But the very first thing in the interpreter's house, when he walks in, he sees a picture on the wall. And it's and the picture was it's described as a very grave man. He has eyes lifted up to heaven. He has the best of books in his hand, which is not too hard to figure out.
Yeah.
The law of truth written on his lips. The world was behind his back, and he stood as if he pleaded with men, and a crown of gold on his head. Now, this was Bunyan's description of a true godly pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He was right at the entrance of this, showing him. And I think what Bunyan was getting at, and I think really, he even said when Christian said to the interpreter, well, what's this picture mean? Who is this? And he said, the man whose picture this is one of 1,000. He can produce children. And I think that goes with Paul saying, you know, you have many instructors, but you don't have any fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And even Paul would say in Galatians that he travailed in birth, you know, for them. But then his eyes were lifted up to heaven. He was looking. He had the best of books in his hand, the Bible. Bunyan was really showing the importance, I believe, to this, for this Christian, that for his spiritual development, he's going to need somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not just by yourself. A lot of people think that Pilgrim's Progress is a story of a man getting to the celestial city. Well, that man is almost very, very rarely alone. He has companions that come along with him.
Mm-hmm.
One gets killed in Vanity Fair. So it's, again, because of the time of persecution that mm-hmm. Bunyan was living in.
Yeah.
That was a part of it. You had to realize that. But the fact that what Bunyan is saying, and what I believe also Paul was saying in this section, was that you need to be, I don't want to say careful, what word am I looking for? You have to be wise to know that you're listening to somebody who's truly a godly man that's going to lead you in the right way. So if I'm going to be part of a church, I want my pastor to be in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is in deep. He's also one that's not just looking in this world. He's looking towards heaven. He is mm-hmm. recognizing that our Father who art in heaven is the one that we're serving.
Yes.
And that's where our focus is. The law of truth on his lips. So he's not, he's speaking, even if it hurts, he's going to tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In the passage of scripture in the that we had just saw in Philippians 3, Paul focuses on 4 the people to avoid, and he says that they're what is it? Their God is their stomach. Oh, I had it just here a second ago. I lost it.
Yeah, God is their stomach. Their glory and is their
end
shame.
End is destruction. Their glory is their shame. They focus on earthly things.
Yeah.
So these are almost exact opposites of exactly what Bunyan was saying,
yeah.
what they should be. So I think I just would like to just kind of say, this is the one, I mean, I love City Church in many, many ways, but I think we have really a pastor that embodies that in such a perfect way. Mm. Well, it can't be perfect, but is in the best way I've seen in a very long
best
time.
Best humanly
that
way.
He is a man that really parks himself on the gospel, on God's word, doesn't pull punches, really, really emphasizes godliness in every mm-hmm. sense. And I want a pastor like that. I want not somebody that's making me feel good. I don't want a pastor who's telling me that I can live my best life now, and here's mm-hmm. how.
A seed for $1,000, and
you'll
live your best life.
Yeah, I mean, it just those people are ones that even hundreds of years ago, Bunyan said, "No, don't be around mm-hmm. these people."
Yeah,
here's the guy, here's the one, and the fact that again, I hate to keep emphasizing it, but that was out of the seven different things that he was telling the Christian in this interpreter's house, these seven steps are very important, but the very first one was make sure you have somebody you're following mm-hmm. that has the right heart, right desires.
Yeah. So with those four qualities that are negative qualities, we'll
negative
call them.
Qualities, yeah.
Those four negative qualities, what, as we're going through and looking at them, what would you say are the opposites of those negative qualities?
Ooh.
So like their end is their destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, and they are focused on earthly things. What would you say are the opposites of that? Because we're given what not to look for, or what to look for in the negative sense, but we're not given what to look for in the positive sense as to, okay, don't look at, we notice this, but we don't mm-hmm. see the positive. It's almost like, this might be a really bad analogy, but like the news, like we see all of this bad negative stuff, mm-hmm. but they don't, yeah. there's always this like missing element of something good and positive to look at.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. yeah
that's
yeah.
the way it is. That's
there's a reason that red gets our attention.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think the answer is very simple, actually, and that was one of the things I emphasized, that we don't look back at the past. We live in the now with an eye towards heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that kind of applies to what in these areas. And that basically is describing the gospel, that in the gospel I recognize that my sins have been forgiven,
mm-hmm.
and I can comfort myself in knowing that as far as east is from the west, so my sins have been, you know, separated mm-hmm. from me. He throws his sins behind my back, and you know, all those kind of things, those metaphors
yeah.
to let yeah. us know that we have robes of righteousness. And now, so what I'm living out of that. I'm living now recognizing the work that he's done, and I'm also receiving his grace to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
And in a evil fallen world, that's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bump into people that will take advantage of you, that will lie to you, that will try to cheat you, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Because it's every man for himself type thing. And you take exactly the opposite view on that, and where you're going to actually serve one another. You're going to be in a different way. But how is it you can handle even persecution now, or being, you know, where mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like your best life now is pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I have one eye on the future. The fact that I know
mm-hmm.
that all of this is just, you know, a breath. I'm going to live for eternity. I have all that to look forward to mm-hmm. and to, and as Paul said, which I just think is the most mind-blowing, he will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body, verse 21, by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. I mean, whoa. I mean, just whoa.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I have so much to look forward to. And the great things about things like Chronicles of Narnia, where you read the final battle,
mm-hmm.
and just the joy of the what would be depicted as heaven, I was almost crying when I was reading that, because I just thought, and even characters that had died in earlier, now they're back, you know, it was just, wonderful, look, so it was, to me, that is the only way we're going to, these type of people that have those things, the positive is, as I say, a godly pastor, loves the word of God, reminds us of the gospel continually, and is not looking at this world, but is looking at the next and preparing us for that.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that, especially given a lot of the televangelists and things that a lot of people end up looking towards, I think a lot of it has to do with they can't get to church on a Sunday morning, so they just watch whatever's on TV, or they listen to it, or they grew up listening to this, so they just continued to. One of their things is, like, you know, Paul puts it as their God is in their stomach, or is their stomach, and you mentioned how that's just greed, and they're lovers of money. So is Paul here, because there's a group of people within Christianity that think that in order to be a good, faithful pastor, missionary, evangelist, whatever, you have to live a sort of like poverty type of gospel, which is the exact opposite of the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. So is that what Paul is talking about here? Or is it something in between, combination of the two? Mm-hmm. What's he actually saying about that?
Well, I think it comes back to, and I think this is part of the gospel, is everything has been given to me, hence everything I have I can give to others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had an interesting, it's funny, while you were talking, it reminded me, but back in Latvia, we had a very small little house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just tiny. But we had this huge, almost twice as big block, four walls with this thing over it was the previous owner wanted to make that into a, she was into pottery and all that stuff, you know, and that was going to be her place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it had no electricity. It was even a dirt floor. There wasn't even any floor in there. It was nothing. So we had paid off our house. We actually owned our house and thought, you know, we really ought to do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we took out a loan, and one of our best friends was an architect. So he said, well, let me design. Well, it was, I called it the Japanese tea room to get we wanted was just a corridor between the two, because they weren't very close. Well, he had it in this, you know, kind of different thing, and it literally did. It looked like it was Japanese the way it was designed. Mm-hmm. And then because we were doing it ourselves, we decided, well, let's have a fireplace, and then hey, why don't we have so the fireplace will be in a living room, and then right it'll be a bedroom, and so you'd have a fireplace for both because you'd have it on both sides.
Yeah.
Well, let's throw in a sauna while we're at it, you know. So, I mean, it was really nice. And lo and behold, so as we were thinking about doing all this, we thought to ourselves, okay, now what are we going to do with it? And we realized that we have always had a lot of visitors, and we could do more now. We could actually enlarge the action of things. So we really always thought to ourselves that it wasn't just going to be us. And to be honest, there was hardly ever a time when we were just alone, because it did become when missionary, you know, people on short-term mission trips, they always come. And
they had people a place
that,
to stay.
And people that were our supporters just want to visit, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive to spend money in a hotel. So we felt zero conviction over whether we're having this really nice house because we knew we were using it for the glory of God.
Yeah.
God blessed us then, because lo and behold, we didn't realize this, that the value of the area was going up because we were on the outskirts of town, of the city of Riga.
Yeah.
But they had outgrown space, so now the largest mall in the country was just down, just short way around us, a huge game center or whatever that was also just very close. Mm-hmm. We were like in the middle of all this stuff going mm-hmm. on. And so we ended up selling our house for probably almost four times what we bought it for.
Oh my gosh.
So, but again, we felt, okay, God, you gave us all this money. So as we were leaving after mm-hmm. 16 years, and we felt bad because we were able to bless all these organizations that mm-hmm. we had been with.
Yeah.
We had seven farewell dinners given to us. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Wow.
But it was so glorious how God worked out all those mm-hmm. things that, in a sense, we were rich mm-hmm. in financial sense to a degree, but we weren't rich in ourselves. We recognized that this was all mm-hmm. blessing now that we could bless others.
Yeah.
And as long as you can have money if money doesn't have you. That's kind of my attitude. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my old pastors, he used to say, because we did like a whole like capital campaign thing, because purchasing another house or like a house that was going to be used for ministry or like the lot next to it or whatever. I forget what it was. But one of the things that he emphasized was that kind of along the same lines that God blesses us with financial well-to-do. So we were rich in every way to be generous on every occasion.
Yep.
And that sticks with me. And I think because it's pithy and it makes sense, but it also, whenever you look back at the gospel and what Jesus was actually telling his disciples to go out and do, he's like, it's not that we're expecting you to go out and act like a poor person, to be begging on the streets and all of that. Mm. Like, we want you to be well taken care of, but what's he tell them to do? He tells them to rely on the support of other people, not on like what Paul would do if, you know, if the gospel was going to be ill-received if he didn't work. So it's like, it seems like Paul is not saying poverty gospel or prosperity gospel. It's like something right in between so that we can give to those who are on the poverty side, but yet.
Well, Paul even said, I've learned to live in plenty. I've learned to live in want, you know, in all circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is true. It is true. And I think this is, but we're focused on money, where money is the priority.
Mm-hmm.
You're really, that's like a tell. You know what I mean? That really is. That means, whoa, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So your security is in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be true.
Yeah, and it's one thing, like from the church perspective, it's one thing to like bring it into focus every once in a while, or for a very small portion of the service. Like every week we say, hey, giving is a part of our worship. Financial support of the church is a part of our worship, because looking back at the Old Testament, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So we're echoing that. But if the church or the ministry that you're gleaning from is saying, hey, like I said earlier, sow a seed for $1,000, it's like that, you might want to think twice about it, because you should be checking the motives of that ministry.
Absolutely.
So the other thing that it brought to my mind was a quote from, I'm going to butcher his last name, but George Santayana. Basically saying,
what is that quote?
Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I haven't read the Pilgrim's Progress, but that picture, it reminded me of that, where his eyes are looking towards heaven. But what I imagine is that the one eye is looking towards heaven.
Yeah, there's on the Bible.
And then the other, or the Bible or whatever, and then the other eye's back towards the world, remembering and having like a not
that's
a
very
dual
much the
perspective.
Way Paul explains it too. Yes, and I think that is so true. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I've been in very, I would say, difficult situations on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
And if you put all your eggs in that basket, oh my gosh, I have a disaster in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna fall apart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, okay, I'm recognizing this. However, I have the other eye on my Savior, on my mm-hmm. Lord, who said, He's never going to leave me, never abandon me, never forsake me. Mm-hmm. I know, Holy Spirit, you're with me right now. I know, Lord, there's a reason why this happened. Mm-hmm. Within your providence, this is all part of the plan. So therefore, Lord, just show me what my next step should be.
Yeah,
I really don't know what I'm going to do next. Guard me, guide me, show me. Mm-hmm. And that, honestly, like I say, I've had those moments, and you come out of it blessed over the fact that you had that, because you think, whoa, that really was a great experience.
I can echo that. You know, like when I was going through my divorce, which you were kind of like part of, like just kind of on the outskirts watching it happen. That was my experience. Mm. Like, it was horrible as I was going through it, but looking back on it or coming out on the other side, I was blessed beyond what I thought was ever going to be possible, especially like, you know, we're prepping to go into Malachi as one of our next sermon series. Malachi's famous for that one, that one God hates divorce passage. Mm. So like seeing that God hates divorce, but yet he's still going to bless me even though I'm going through it is something that is very...
And he certainly has blessed you, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even describe how many ways, but seeing that happen is just really, really cool because it puts 4:1 into perspective.
Yeah.
So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner stand firm in the Lord. Mm. Like, just stand firm in the Lord makes all of that come into really, really good perspective.
And it's implying that you're going to have some resistance.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the passage of Paul's where he says that we're more than conquerors. You know, you'd think, well, what could be better than conquering? Mm-hmm. Well, you're stronger after the battle than when you started. Usually you come out weaker after a battle, but in following him, suddenly your faith is stronger, your trust is stronger.
Yeah,
you're a different person.
Oh yeah.
And so I think I agree with that absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is the joy and crown that he longs for. It's great.
Yeah. Well, and that just speaks back into 21 where he's going to transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body. If you're not just conquering, like I would say that's case in point of what you just said.
Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Good.
So Larry, thank you for the sermon. I enjoyed that very much. And for those of you that are listening, we want to encourage you to get involved in a local church. If you're listening to this and you're in Williamsport, we would love to meet you if you don't have a church home, get you plugged in, get to know you, see where you can best fit within our family and within our community. And just a reminder, this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. This is just a supplement of more like a vitamin. So go back, listen to the sermon. You'll get a whole lot more out of than the less than 30 minutes that we talked today. So Larry, thank you for this past Sunday.
And thank you.
We will see you all next week.
God bless.